Cast your burden upon him, and we are going to see a little bit more about that in the message this morning. Praise the Lord. Let us turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. I have elected to bring forth a Thanksgiving sermon today rather than waiting till after Thanksgiving, as I have done in the past. And so, Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And I want to enlarge on this verse for a little while. First thing I want to see is that David only lists two reasons for the giving of thanks here in this verse. That is, he is good, his mercy endureth forever. But I want to contrast that, because there is far more to give thanks for than just these two things. We'll not turn there. You can take these down for reference. We read of this one in Psalm 34:1. And this is where David said, I will bless, or I will praise, or I will thank the Lord at all times. Meaning, of course, the good times, the bad times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth, not just for certain things. Then also, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, another beautiful reference. Pray without ceasing. Then we read, in everything give thanks. Again, not just for goodness and mercy. And then we come to the next thing about this one. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, meaning that giving thanks is the will of God for us, and that is what we, of course, must learn to comply with in all of our experience, abiding in the will of God. Colossians 3:14 is another one. Above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. Then we read, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And then we are exhorted, be ye thankful. And that being thankful is not just being thankful unto God, but really being thankful unto all. We find that this being thankful is really a state of being that we must have in our experience, really on a constant basis. Romans 13:7 is another reference to put down here, because again, we are to render thanks unto all, not just unto God. Sometimes people get that idea, well, I'll just thank God. Well, Paul says this in Romans 13:7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, that is reverence, honor to whom honor. And so we are also bound to give thanks unto men for the things that we have received. Paul said at one place, what do you have that you haven't received? If we receive them from men, then they too are to hear our voice of thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then we have the rest of that is here in verse 7 of Philippians 4, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The very peace of God is a reward for keeping this thanksgiving giving thanks unto God and indeed unto others. Let us continue here in Psalm 107. As we read here, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. This must be an extremely important thing for us to do, because this verse is repeated verbatim a total of 7 times in Scripture. And so, in this message, however, once again, I want to enlarge on only the 2 items that are mentioned here in this verse. Number 1 is, of course, the goodness of God, and then we will see later the grace of God. Let us turn to Exodus 33. We want to explore, first of all, the goodness of God. Exodus 33. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. This, of course, is one example of the goodness of God. We're going to see more here in just a moment. But if you skip down to verse 19 of this same chapter, Exodus 33, 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And so I want to notice that God really tells Moses at this particular point. He explains just by summary, so to speak, my goodness. And so he tells Moses at this particular point, all my goodness, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. As I meditated on that, I just wondered, how in the world do you do that? But as we pursue it, as we look at the Scripture, as we examine what is right before us, then God tells us exactly what that goodness means. And so, as we find here in this place, here in verse 20 to 22, we of course find that his presence is going to go before him. But let's read verse 20. He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Let us understand, because this is the meaning of it, the cleft of the rock signifies our place in Christ. This is where we find the goodness of God is in Christ himself. He expressed the fullness of his goodness in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he came in, who he was, and what he came to do in this world. We'll not turn there, but Ephesians 1:3 says it this way, very familiar verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And those spiritual blessings are a glorious expression of God's goodness. And again, they are in Christ. That's the only way you can get them is in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2, 9 and 10, two more verses where we see wondrous goodness of God. We read, "In him," that is Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Fullness of God is expressed once again in Christ. His goodness, the fullness of such goodness, is expressed in Christ Jesus. And so, "in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And then this one, "you are complete in him." If you are complete, that expresses the fullness. That's where you get the fullness of God that we have in Christ Jesus. "You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And then in verse 23 of this same chapter of Exodus, we read, "I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." And so this brings us to the second point that I want to make concerning, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. He is good. His, as we read here, that's the reason for giving thanks. But then the second one is, his mercy endureth forever. Grace and mercy in Scripture are really used interchangeably. We see it in here, even in verse 19 above here. "I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee." Again, that's a part of his goodness. "I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And so his grace and his mercy used interchangeably in Scripture. Also, another very familiar verse that we know, again, put it down for reference. We'll not turn there, of course. Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." Why? "That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." There is one point I want to enlarge on here as we discuss this particular part of the grace of God, the mercy of God. I'm sure that people have heard this statement, and that is, "The Lord helps them that help themselves." That's a lie. We read it here in Psalm 70 and verse 5. It's also in other places, but Psalm 70 and verse 5 says it this way, "I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying." And so it is the Lord that we must call on for help. We cannot help ourselves. We have to learn that by experience, sometimes by bitter experience. But if we learn it, then that is the general plan. God wants us to know that, no, we cannot help ourselves. We can't lift ourselves up. We can't deliver ourselves. But God is fully able to do that. And then, of course, he is the one who must be glorified and magnified because of that. And so David understood that glorious truth when he just admitted, "I am poor and needy." No two ways about it. But he knew what to do about it. "Make haste unto me." And that's what we do. We cry out unto the Lord, "Make haste unto me. Help me in this matter." And so we continue to call on the Lord. Let us turn now to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. 2 Corinthians 9. And let's go down to verse 8. I want to see what God does. We are unable to help ourselves. We are unable to deliver ourselves. We are unable to extricate ourselves from various difficulties. And we wonder sometimes how we can help out with other people, things of this nature. 2 Corinthians 9:8 is a wonderful verse that we must take into our own being and abide by in our experience. And so we read, "And God." That's the first thing that we understand from this verse, is that God is the only source of this unlimited grace. Grace comes from God. Now, it can be prompted and it can be manifested through us. But the source of divine grace is God Himself. And so notice, as we read here, "And God is able to make all grace." And this once again means there is no limit to the multiplied expressions and demonstrations of God's grace. People think they understand the grace of God. Oh, yes, I'm saved by grace, beginning Hebrews 4. But we find here that grace abounds. It is, I repeat, unlimited. And so God is able to make all grace, and then the next thing, abound toward you. This tells us of the abundance of divine grace available for all who would reach out and lay hold of it. And that's the only thing you have to do, is lay hold of it. It is there. God has already made the provision. And so He has already made it to abound toward you. And then, if you will notice the latter part of this verse, that you... God has a purpose in revealing, in pouring out this abundant grace, in making this grace abound in our lives. There is a reason for doing that, that you, notice, always. I want to notice the fullness of what God does here, and it is always. Having all sufficiency in all things. That means any and all situations. Notice another. Again, abound. It is just absolutely in abundance. It is to every good work, because that's what God intends it to be, is good work, not selfish work or not things that we might be interested in, but it is in every good work. Verse 9, as it is written. Paul backs up his statements with the Word of God, and this is exactly what the pattern that must be set in our lives today, rather than giving forth our opinions or that's the way it should be, that way it ought to be, or that way so-and-so says it is. The authority must be God's Word. And so Paul followed that same pattern. He made these bold statements to the Corinthians, and they were bold statements, because if you go through and check this out in its entirety, Paul is actually reproving them. He is chastising them for a deficit in their own lives, and he is giving them the scriptural reference and basis for doing that. And so in verse 9 he says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. If you will go through and study this portion, this reference is in reference to giving. There is a grace of giving. And Paul was trying to get these Corinthians to give to other people, to the poor saints there in Jerusalem. And so he is asking the Corinthians to do that. They had abounded in riches. God had given them so very much. And he was trying to tell them, you don't take all of this just to hoard it. God intends you to do something with it. And so he was trying to get them to give to these poor saints, these poor Jews at Jerusalem. That's the context of what we are looking at here in verse 9. Notice verse 10. He that ministereth seed to the sower, that would be God himself. I don't care what our seed is, whether it is money, whether it's the word of God, whether it is thoughts and ideas, whether it's meditations, anything of that nature. This is what we too must understand and realize. It comes from God. And that's what he said again. What do you have that you did not receive? And that's true of every one of us. We came into this world with absolutely nothing. God had to give us what we have in our lives today. And so he that ministers seed to the sower, God, he still takes on responsibility. Both minister bread for your food, and the Corinthians knew that. God had fed them well. God had made sure that they had plenty to eat. But he said he'll also multiply your seed sown. And then he will increase the fruits of your righteousness. And so the emphasis here is the responsibility which God has placed upon himself to do all of these things. Then in verse 11, he continues with this full order of blessing and giving that God gives unto us. Verse 11, being enriched in everything. And he means exactly that, as I mentioned some of these things before. But all provisions, all blessings, all things that God has given, being enriched in everything, and you'll notice again, to all bountifulness. You see all of the alls and the everys and the bounds and all of these things? It's the fullness of God's grace which is given unto us. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. And then we come to this last part, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. We give thanks to God, but it also induces others to give thanks unto God. He is to be magnified above all else. And so we come back to the opening verse of this message this morning. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. And so today we too would give thanks for his goodness and his mercy. That concludes our message today. Let us sing.